Okay, today's perek is perek Yud Beis in Sefer Yehoshua, and the first 11 prakim that we have discussed, we have shirim about, has been stories, and it's been great. And all of Nevi'im Rishonim will follow that pattern, except for the next 7 or 8 prakim. The next 7 or 8 prakim will be lists of borders. That'll be the second part. The first started yesterday already, continues today. In Perek Yud Beis, a list of kings that Am Yisrael conquered, the 31 kings that they took down in their conquering. And after that, after a perek or two of conquering, then we have all the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So we'll have to talk about different topics related to Eretz Yisrael and the borders throughout those prakim. Towards the end of Sefer Yehoshua, the last 4 or 5 prakim, we get back into the stories, and that takes us through Malachim Beis. Throughout all of the Nevi'im Rishonim, it's all action-packed stories that we will be involved in. But the next couple of prakim, it'll be more of learning what we can from related topics related to the parak, in that there aren't isn't that much in the psukim that is action-packed. It is action-packed, but it's all the wars and just lists of nations. Okay, so again, the summary of the parak, parak Yud Beis, the parak starts off, Eichel Malchei Haaretz, the following of the kings that Am Yisrael defeated. As we started off the last parak, we had the kings of the north. And now we have the rest of the kings. We start off talking about the kings that Moshe Rabbeinu conquered. Sichon and Og, those were all on the east side of the Yarden. Ever HaYarden, as it is called. Included in this is Og Melech HaBashan, which we will have to talk about as well. As well as the other kings that are listed here. And then we have, unusually, and this is unique, in Nevi'im, we have a list of the 31 kings, but if you look in Tanakh, it's listed off, written like a Shira. Like there's a special structure of the, like we have Az Yashir is written in a special way in the Torah. And Shiras Devorah, we'll get to in Shoftim, is written in a special way. So here too, all the kings, and we know the sons of Haman are written in a special way in the Megillah. So here too, Melech Yericho Echad, Melech HaYashir Mitzad Bezal Echad, Melech Yerushalayim Echad, Melech Hebron Echad. Right, they're all listed off as if it was some type of Shira, because all the other ones that are written in an unusual way are all called a Shira. So this also might seem to be a Shira, which we will have to talk about. And at the end, the last pasuk sums up, Kol Malachim Shloshim Ve'echad. All the Malachim, all 31 kings that Am Yisrael defeated. They defeated the kings. It does not say they wiped out all the nations of the 31 nations. That we'll have to talk about at a later date. But either way, this is continuing the conquering. Okay, so let's go talk about some of the details that are mentioned in these psukim. So the first section in the parak deals with a list. Eila Malchei Aretz Asher Hiku Bnei Yisrael VaYirshuas Aretzam BeEver HaYarden Mizrach HaShamesh. So we go back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ever HaYarden, Moshe was still in charge on the east side of the Jordan. We learned earlier, Am Yisrael crossed the Yarden on the 10th of Nisan. That's where Yeshua took over. That's where Yeshua became the conqueror, only after they crossed. But here, we're putting everything in context. The conquering, the kibush, started beforehand, and it continues all the way until Eretz Kanaan. But one of the kings that we just mentioned earlier is Og Melech HaBashan. Og was one of the kings that they killed. Og is one of the most unique personalities in all of the Torah. He always comes up where you least expect him, right? In the Vayavo HaPalit, that the coming out of the four kings and the five kings fighting each other in Sefer Bereishis, an escapee comes out and tells Avram, quickly, you gotta come, you gotta save your nephew. Who's the Palit? Og. Oh, where did Og come from? Og was from the giants, Mi'asar Arfa'im. So we just saw the end of last parak. Yeshua destroyed all the giants. Og, though, lived a very, very long time. He was around in the time of Noach. He was around in the time of Abraham. He was around in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu finally got the best of him. But he was into a very, very long time. And the Gemara discusses that Moshe Rabbeinu was nervous. Even when he was fighting Og, he was nervous that the zchus of telling Avraham about Lot, that was going to save him. The Gemara tells us in Nida, on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph, Vayomar Hashem el Moshe al tira. Before Moshe is going to attack Og and Sichon and Og, Hashem tells Moshe, don't fear, don't be scared. So the Gemara is like, obviously Moshe, I guess, must have thought he was scared. Why does the Torah tell us, don't be scared? You only tell somebody, don't be scared, unless, you don't tell somebody, don't be scared before you go into an ice cream store. You say, don't be scared before you go into the lion's den. So obviously there's something to be scared about. So he says, don't be scared. So Gemara says, Michdi, Sichon v'og achai have. Sichon and Og were brothers, says the Gemara. De Amar Mar, Sichon v'og b'nei achia ben sham chazai have. Maishna me Og de kamistafi, u maishna mi Sichon de lo kamistafi. You only see in the Torah, when Moshe's fighting Og and Sichon, he only says before he fights Og, don't be scared. But Sichon, he doesn't, he's not scared of. Why? Amr of Yochanan, Amr of Shimon by Yochai. So the Gemara needed of Samach Aleph. Michuvaso shaloso atzadik atu yodea mahaya belibo. From the answer, you know what was in Moshe's heart. What was he nervous of? Amr, Shem atamid lo zchus shel Avram Avinu. Maybe the zchus of Avram Avinu would stand by him. Shenei Amar, vayavo apalit, vayageh l'Avram Avri. Amr of Yochanan ze'og. Why is he called the palit, the one who escaped? Shepalat midar hamabel. He was already from the Dor HaMabel, 10 generations before Avram Avinu. But he escaped, and that's why he's called the Palit. So that's chus, that he did a mitzvah, that he told Avraham about Lot. So that is the why Moshe Rabbeinu was scared. Unbelievable. Og wasn't such a great tzaddik. But he did one mitzvah. One mitzvah, that's good enough. Tosfos there in Nida Samach Aleph, says, 1 minute. Og was saved from the waters of the Mabel, but Sichon was his brother. So that means Sichon must have been saved from the waters of the Mabel. What, they were born hundreds of years apart? And we know the Midrashim tell us that where was Og during the Mabel? He wasn't on the Teva. Who was on the Teva? Noach, Naama, his wife, and the three sons and their wives, right? 8. And that's about it, right? Nobody else. And Og, part of Og, as we'll talk about in a second. But Sichon asked Tosfos. We don't have any Midrashim about Sichon. If they were brothers, like the Gemara says, so where was he? Says Tosfos. Hachi nami nifla mi Sichon midor amabel. Kivan dachoy havi. Elo dahacha palit kim le dehu og velo Sichon. Mehai tai megufa kivan dachoy le Moshe. But we know the palit must have been Og and not Sichon because Moshe was only scared of Og. So that's why it must not have been Sichon. The Od, and then it says, Sheog, he quotes the, Tosfos quotes the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, one of the earliest sources that we have, even before the Mishnayos. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer was a Medrash. Rashi quotes it, Tosfos quotes it. Says the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Avram Avinu found Og making cookies. And that's why he's called Og, because he was Og Ugos. He was making cookies, and that's why he got his name Og. And that's why he's called. That's what the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer says. Sheomei begrunos l'sakein ugos l'pesach, v'ashem zeh nikra Og. And that's where Avram found him. What is it doing here in Maseches Nida? The Gemara earlier had been previously talking about Lashon Hara. So it brings this here also. Why? Because the Medrash says, this is Tosfos, very unusual for Tosfos, talking all about Midrashim. But once in a while Tosfos does that. So Tosfos says, Og Amar Belibo. Why was Og such a good guy? He was going to tell Avram, Avram, your nephew was captured, you better go save him. Why was Og such a great tzaddik? He wasn't such a great tzaddik. But what was it? He wanted Avram to be killed. He said, Eilech v'omer la'Avraham, b'yilachem b'yamos, v'esa sarach ishto. Sarah was one of the most beautiful women, the Gemara tells us in Megillah. One of the most beautiful women in history. So Og wanted to marry her. So I'm going to be a great tzaddik on the outside. I'm going to tell Avraham, go into the war, he'll be killed, and I'll marry. Right? That's all right, just like the Nachash. Right? That's what Og does. Afilu hachi ayayari Moshe shemetam alo tzchus Avraham. And even so, he was nervous. This is Og. Fascinating suggestion is made. Rabbi Simon, in his Sefer, the Imre Baruch, he quotes from the Sefer of Rabbi Zeidel Epstein. Zeidel Epstein quotes it in Parshas Lech Lecha. He says, so what was Og about? He says, this medrash. So he told Avraham, but in his heart he really wanted Avraham to die. He says, he put that together for a second with the medrash. We know Og was saved from the Mabel, but he wasn't on the Teva. What was on the Teva? His head was on the Teva. His head was stuck on the Teva, and his body was out. And somehow, even though we know the Gemara tells us that the Mabel was boiling hot water, he lived. Hashem cooled it off a little bit on the outside. Why was Og's head zocha to be on the Teva? If he was zocha to be saved, so put his whole body on the Teva. What, he was a giant? There was no room? It was a nace anyway. The Ramban writes, it was all a nace that all the animals fit anyway. So it'll be another nace that Og fit on the Teva. Why does only his head get onto the Teva and not his body? So explains of Zeidel Epstein, why? Because Og was a Rasha. He was a terrible guy. He did one mitzvah in his life. He said something good. You said something good, your mouth gets onto the Teva. Your rest of your body are in the Mabel. You're just like the rest of them. So he says, that's what happens. He says he had a little nekuda to be saved, the Hatzala. That's why. But gufo shakua b'mei Mabel. El shapiv ha'yelo negia kol shu b'mei sacheset, dak shebedak, that he told Avraham. And that's why, but everything else, right, well, his whole machshava, His whole machshava was he wanted Avram to die. But your body, where your taivas are, so that stays in the water. But only your mouth gets on. So this is Og. What happened to Og at the end of his life? So we know what happened. That's the Gemara Maseches Brachas in the last parak. Last parak tells us the beginning of the ninth parak. The Gemara tells us a story about finally, the Gemara there is talking about whenever we see a miraculous place in history, we have to make a bracha. You see the place where the Jews crossed the Yarden, you make a bracha. You see the place where this nace happened, the walls of Yericho, you make a bracha. If you see the rock that Moshe sat on when they fought Amalek, you make a bracha. So, in that case, if we see this rock that Og wanted to throw on Am Yisrael, you make a bracha. So you know where that rock is. But what's the story? The Gemara tells a story that Og picked up a rock and he was about to throw it on Am Yisrael. And finally, what happened? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that ants ate through the middle of the rock. The rock fell onto Og's. It's amazing. Fell onto Og's neck, and his teeth got huge. So he had this neck. He had this rock around his neck, and he was suffocating, and he couldn't get it off because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made his teeth come out. The neck, the rock was around his neck, and Moshe Rabbeinu was then able to hit him down and kill him. That was finally the end of Og, who lived for hundreds of years from the time of Noach to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Dafka did he die in that way? Okay, not for now. You can look at the Marsha here, look in the other Mefarshim here. But that is Og, that is one of the reviews that here in Yehoshua they take us through. Just one larger issue though, and that is we can ask, this is a halachic question, and this is a hashkavic question too. Here we're reviewing all of the kibushim. We go back to Moshe Rabbeinu. We include Aver HaYarden. What status does Aver HaYarden have? The east side. So we know it's not modern Israel. It's Jordan. But what about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael? So it's amazing. If you think about it, the Shvatim are all supposed to get Eretz Yisrael. So we know the story, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Reuven, Gad, and Menashe. We'll talk about them more in the next parak. They say, no, we want this land. So Moshe Rabbeinu makes them come, and then they will go back after they help Am Yisrael conquer the rest of the kings. But what status does that land have? Did Moshe Rabbeinu allow them to live outside the land of Israel? Or does that land have certain qualities of Eretz Yisrael? After all, there is a concept the Gemara talks about. If you want an amazing discussion of this, the Arachayim HaKadosh in Parshas Matos discusses this. How can Moshe Rabbeinu let them stay? What was the whole dream? Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael coming together, and all of a sudden, they say 2.5 Shvatim, no, we're not interested. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at them, but at the end, after they acquiesce to all of Moshe's conditions, Moshe says, okay, is he letting them stay out? The Arachayim HaKadosh says possibly not. It's not fully Kedushas Haaretz, that's true. Hilchos Shmita, Hilchos Shumas and Maaseros do not apply in Aver HaYarden, in Jordan, in the other places. Lebanon might be Eretz Yisrael, but Jordan is Aver HaYarden. So, says the Arachayim HaKadosh, you know what the claim was? The claim was of the Reuven, Gad, and Chazi, Sheva, Menashe. What's defined as Eretz Yisrael? It can't be only a portion of Jews go there. That's defined as a kibush yachid in the Gemara, and it doesn't have the status of Eretz Yisrael. But here, all of Klal Yisrael, Sichon, Og. So we want to stay here. And they said, read you his lashon, the Arachayim HaKadosh. Pirish Eretz Zeh Kedushas Haaretz Yeshla L'tam Shekavshu Lefnei Adas Yisrael V'kibash Rabim Dina Keretz Yisrael L'chol Tvarel Meshuna Kibash Zeh L'fishayi B'mamar Hashem. Hashem told them to do it. It's all of Eretz Yisrael. It's all of Bnei Yisrael. So they thought that it has the same status. We know in Halacha it doesn't. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Shemitah. That is there Shemitah? Baruch Hashem, we're in the Shemitah year. Is there Shemitah? If I go to Jordan? If I go to Aver HaYarden? No. Not to Oraisa. The Rambam says, Ein Shvias no Heges Ella Be'eretz Yisrael Bilvad. Only Eretz Yisrael. Aver HaYarden, Shvias no Heges Ba Midivrehem. Midrabanan. There are certain halachas that apply to a Midrabanan. But on a Daraisa level, it does not apply. But it could be, suggests the Arachayim HaKadosh in Matos, that in terms of Kibush Haaretz, it has a certain type of Kedusha because this was conquered and part of the process of Am Yisrael conquering and settling. Maybe that's why it's repeated here in Sefer Yehoshua. What's it doing here? We know this already from Sefer Dvarim. All these stories are in already. Just tell me what Yehoshua did, the 31 kings. No, it's all part of the process. He doesn't quote it, but maybe that's why Pasuk Aleph through Vav is written here in Sefer Yehoshua to tell us it's all part of the process of kibush Eretz Yisrael, which it is, but even in terms of attaining some sanctity of kedushas haaretz. That's what might be suggested. Okay, so that's the first couple of psukim, and then we get to pasuk vav. Moshe Eved Hashem uvenei Yisrael hikum. Moshe and Bnei Yisrael defeated them. Vayitzna Moshe Eved Hashem Yerushal aruveni v'lagadi v'lachasi shevet Menashe. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu gave these portions to Reuven, Gad, and Chati shevet Menashe. The Medrash says, isn't it interesting that it says Moshe did it? Doesn't say like Hashem helped Moshe do it. Just says Moshe did it all. Says the Medrash. Amr lahema elu malchei aret asher hika Yeshua ben Yisrael beivar yarden. Amr lahema kadosh baruch hu liYisrael. Chayechem ani osem milcham oseichem umachtiv aleichem sha'atem aragdim osam. The Medrash says that Hashem says, I'm going to do it, but I'm going to give you credit. Bo re'ei ein ma'isam shel kadosh baruch hu k'ma'isam melech basar v'dam. This is the Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Re'ei. This is unlike a human king. What does a human king do? Even stuff that he didn't do, he takes credit for. Right, there are leaders in the modern world today. They'll send in soldiers. They'll send in this. They'll send in that, and they'll take the credit. Yeah, I did it. I did it. It's all me. It was my decision. Kadosh Baruch Hu is just the opposite. He'll do everything, and then he'll give away the credit. What does it say in our pasuk? Moshe Eved Hashem uvenei Yisrael hikum. Bnei Yisrael did it. Bnei Yisrael did it. It was all a nays. All Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement. He gives the credit to Am Yisrael. He gives the credit, and the Yalkut brings our pasuk over here as a raya. Why does he give us credit? So the Musar Nevi'im, Rabbi Ginsburg writes, that because we were Moser Nefesh. Whenever we're Moser Nefesh for something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the credit, so to speak. He goes into our hands, like the Gemara in Brachas tells us in one place, in the Chaf or so, where the Gemara says that one of the Tanaim is bemoaning. I don't know what. We learned much more than they did in earlier generations, but in the earlier generations, you know, they had Nisim done for them. They wouldn't have Nisim done for us. So what does the Gemara say? Mesiris Nefesh is the difference. Doesn't matter how much one knows. It matters how much one is Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes it's hard. You know, it could be that somebody has to work all day and make a living, and they have 2 hours or an hour, half an hour to learn at night. Kaveidim LaTorah. But if they're more Moser Nefesh for that half hour, it means more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than somebody who's relaxed and learning even more. Because it's all about the Mesiris Nefesh. That's the message. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw us, we were Moser Nefesh, conquering Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, he gave us the credit. Okay. So then we get to the second half of the parak, where we have the whole list. Melech Yericho Echad. We list off all of the kings, all of the details. And the question is asked, what do we have to know all these names for? Just tell us, he defeated the 31 kings. To know everyone. Why everyone? This is a thought I've mentioned in past years in the Haggadah this year. And that is, let's think about Dayenu. Dayenu, what happens Dayenu? Ilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this, and he did this, and he did this. Why can't we just say, Hashem, thank you for everything. Thank you for everything. We have to list off every single one. Just say thank you for everything. So the mashal is given. Imagine a child comes home from school, brings a project to show his parents. He says, Abba, he says, look at this. And the parent's like, wow, amazing, great. That's one reaction. Or the parent could say, wow, I see you did this in blue, and you did the tree in green, and you did the grass, and you colored the yellow, and you made this perfectly, and that. The child feels much better by the second reaction. Because the more detailed the reaction, the more reflection, the deeper hakara it is. It's like after a meal, you eat at somebody's house. We eat at somebody's house for Shabbos. Everything was great, thanks. No, or we could say, oh, the kugel was perfect. And the sweet potatoes hit the spot. And the challah was seasoned. It's when we're much more personal and we list off, that's a much greater reflection of hakara satov. So that's here. That's why Dayenu. Everyone, we say, Hashem, not thanks for everything. Thank you for the Torah. Thank you for Shabbos. Thank you for Og. Thank you for Sichon. Thank you for the Man. Thank you for the Be'er. Thank you for thank you for bringing us Eretz Yisrael, Beis HaMikdash, everything. Because when we list off everyone, that's a much deeper Hakara. So here, Melech Yericho, Echad, thanks. Melech Hashem, Yitzhak, Beis HaMikdash, Echad. Ah, another one. Hashem, you're great. Melech Yerushalayim, Echad, awesome. Melech Hebron, Echad. Each one by one, is a much deeper level of Hakara Satov. There is also just two other points, and that is, it's amazing that in such a tiny little country there were so many kings. You would think that, you know, Achashveros was the Hodu Bar Kush, there was one king over 127 provinces. and tiny little Eretz Yisrael, tiny little Eretz Canaan, had 31 kings in it. So it's a medrash. The Rashi quotes it already. Rashi quotes it on the I think it's in Zos HaBracha. Rashi quotes, there's no king in the world that doesn't want a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody, whether consciously or subconsciously, realizes its significance. Why does Eretz Yisrael, why does Israel get more press in the news? Tiny little piece of strip of land than any other country. Than countries that are 50 times as big. Nobody in the world realizes how small Eretz Yisrael is. But everybody wants that connection to it. And that's why all these kings, they might not have all lived here, but they had a representation here. They had something here because they all wanted a piece. They wanted a piece. They realized it was the Merkaz HaOlam. They realized this is the center of the world, and everybody wanted a section of it. Right there, the Tanchuma writes in Mishpatim: Kol Melech Shohaya Molech B'Chutz La'aretz Im Lo Haya Kone Be'Eretz Yisrael Lo Haya Nikra Melech. They wanted a piece of Eretz Yisrael. Just one final point, the last word there. They wanted Eretz Yisrael and its fruit. They were interested in the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, the delicious Jaffa oranges. So what does that mean? So that leads us to another fascinating discussion. We know, we say in Alamichya, V'nochal mipirya v'nisba mituva. Right, we daven after we should be zoche, after thanking Hashem for the food, Alamichya v'akalkala, we should be zoche to eat from the fruits. V'nocham epiria, from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, v'nisla mituva, and be satiated from its goodness. That language is what we say. It's quoted in the Torah. The Torah quotes that language. And the Torah is bothered. Why are we thanking Hashem for the, we wish to eat from the fruit of Israel. We want to go into Eretz, we want to be zocha to the gashmis of Eretz Yisrael. Right, v'nocham epiria, v'nisla mituva. The Torah quotes this in Simin Reish Ches. He goes, v'yesh omrim v'nocham epiria, v'nisla mituva, v'ein la omro. The Torah says, don't say this line. She'en lachmoda aris, bishul piryah v'tuvah. That's not the point of the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. The fruit. El lekayem ha-mitzvah satulius ba. Right, it's paraphrasing a Gemara in the end of first parak in Sota. No! But we say it. Says the Bach. Right there. Simin Reish Ches. If you never saw it inside, it's a great one. Tema says the Bach. I'm matama on the Torah. The Torah is matama on the Minhag. I'm matama on the Torah. He says, the fruit of Eretz Yisrael have kedusha. Right, this kedusha in that fruit. Halo kedusha sa'aretz hanishpats ba mikedusha sa'aretz el yonahi. Hanishpats ka beverosesha yonke mikedusha shechina. There's special dinim, there's kedusha, shmita and shumas and maisras. So yes, we say v'nocha mepiria v'nisla mituva. It's not just about the mitzvah satulias ba'aretz, but it's about the special kedusha that the fruit have. I'll just leave you with, again, I've mentioned this story before, Rav Rimon writes in one of his svarim on Shemitah, that he says, one time he was in Eretz Yisrael, in Chutz Laaretz, visiting somewhere, and he went into a grocery store and he picked up an orange or an apple. Maisa betapuach, that's what it's called. He says he picks up an apple and he thinks to himself, Shumas and Maisras? Not shaykh. He says, Shemitah? No, not shaykh. Orla? So he's going through all the halachas. He says, well, he realized there's like nothing to talk about. He puts the apple down and walks out of the store. He lost his appetite. He said, it's just an empty apple. There's nothing there. So we might not be on that level. But at least we have to realize the fruit and even the kings, like the Medrash sends off, all the kings. Why are there 31 kings? Shoyimisavim la'eretz Yisrael ulapeiroseha. Okay, we'll stop here. But next time we will continue with the kibush of Eretz Yisrael.